Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, Kanye West for president. I've spent time with Kanye West. I'm going to tell you what this all means. President Trump from Mount Rushmore, and so much more. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Go there right now, chip in some money, get engaged, get involved, start a chapter, fight for freedom and liberty. Turning Point USA is the battle station for freedom and liberty. Right here, right now, in our country, we have to do something. Turning Point USA is the place to do it. Thank you to those donors that allow this show to be possible at charliekirk.com/support. It allows us to have a firewall and an insurance policy away from boycotts and leftist totalitarianism. charliekirk.com/support. It allows us to communicate directly to you about the timeless truths that built the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Thank you guys that have become donors at charliekirk.com/support. And you guys can always reach us directly at freedom@charliekirk.com. Big episode in store. Let's start the week off right. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Well, I hope you're all enjoying your 4th of July weekend. Independence Day weekend, I should say, and off to a good start this week. There's a lot of news that happened over the week. We want to share it with you. I've had definitely an interesting couple of days. I was at Mount Rushmore. The president was there. I never was at Mount Rushmore before. Incredible to celebrate our country, the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. And you might have saw that Kanye West announced for president, also known as Yeezy for some of our older listeners. Kanye West is probably one of the most successful artists, fashion icons, and cultural forces ever. And it's really interesting. Kanye West announced for president on July 4th. Elon Musk quickly tweeted his support. I want to say that, and of course they were photographed together last week, kind of hanging out. I've spent time with Kanye. I'm actually a really big Kanye fan. I love his new conversion to Christianity. He's a creative mind. He's fun. He's off the charts. He's new and exciting. I've got so many messages over the weekend of people messaging me because I've spent time with Kanye and because I was with Candace Owens and Kanye's entire kind of entourage 2 years ago. People are saying, what does this mean? Is this bad for Trump? Why is he doing this? Well, first of all, I actually think it's really good for Trump. I think it could actually help Trump a lot. And we'll see if Kanye actually means it. We'll see if Kanye is actually in running, and he should be taken seriously. I mean, a lot of people didn't take Trump seriously in 2015, and you kind of saw how that all ended up. So it's interesting. First of all, Kanye teased running for president in 2015. The Democrats even said, "Welcome to the race, Kanye West." This was in August of 2015. It's not too late to be on the ballot. He could do a write-in campaign like Ken Griffey Jr. did in 1994. He could still get on the ballot in Pennsylvania and Ohio and other states. It would have to be very last minute here. Maybe he's just doing it to raise attention to his causes. But I will say this, that Kanye West could conceivably take votes away from Joe Biden in the black community and in the younger demographic. This could actually be a very positive thing for President Trump, who might not be able to get more than 46, 47% of the vote in certain states, and being able to kind of equalize that out with someone who is getting a lot of excitement in the black community with younger voters. I think that's actually I don't think it actually takes anything away from Trump if he runs. Now, again, I've spent time with Kanye more than most. I think very highly of him. I think that he's been very loyal to the president. I don't think he's doing this as a reason to hate the president. I don't think he's doing this as a anti-Trump move. I don't think any of that. I think Kanye is mostly doing this for whatever reason deep down, but maybe he wants the attention. Maybe he thinks that he can make a positive impact on the world. So I don't think of this as a negative. I actually think this could be tremendously positive for the president in a way that a third party candidacy like Ross Perot in 1992 actually helped defeat H.W. Bush and helped Bill Clinton. I think Kanye West could actually help Donald Trump, especially on the heels of all this BLM riots and protests and so on and so forth. I actually think it could be extraordinarily positive. And so we'll see how this plays out. Kanye West came up with his newest album. He just came out with a new song a couple days ago. Washed Us in His Blood. Part of his upcoming album, God's Country. So I agree. This is God's Country. And so he's... Kanye West, good luck to you, Yeezy. I think it'd actually be a very positive thing for our country and a positive thing for all of us that love America. Anything that actually might help drive younger turnout and black voter turnout away from Biden, I think is a positive thing. So best of luck, Kanye West, Yeezy. We'll see how it happens. We'll see if it actually means it. So many of you saw President Trump's speech at Mount Rushmore, probably the best speech of his entire presidency. If you haven't seen it, I want to play piece by piece of this incredibly historic speech. You contrast the optimistic, forward-thinking speech about making our kids love America again. Now, I'm not going to take credit for this because that would not be fair. I think it is important that we realize a week ago we had the Think Big podcast. Many of you emailed us your questions, and I passed along some of them to the White House and passed along some of them to some senators, and we're in constant communication with the White House, and you guys are kind of my instant poll results, and you guys are kind of my instant focus group, if you will. So I love you guys. So keep emailing me your questions at freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And the response about getting our kids to love America again was unbelievable. Off the charts. So enthusiastically positive. And so the president said this and so much more. He said, we are going to get our kids to love America. Almost a direct carbon copy. A couple words were off, but almost a direct carbon copy from our Think Big podcast. And I wrote a piece for American Greatness on this. And I was being very, let's say, forward with this message because I thought it was a winning message and it was perfectly delivered. He also vowed to protect Mount Rushmore as an eternal monument to American freedom. Let's start with that. Play tape.
There could be no better place to celebrate America's independence than beneath this magnificent, incredible, majestic mountain monument to the greatest Americans who have ever lived. Today, we pay tribute to the exceptional lives and extraordinary legacies of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt. I am here as your president to proclaim before the country and before the world, this monument will never be desecrated. These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed. Their achievements will never be forgotten. And Mount Rushmore will stand forever as an eternal tribute to our forefathers, and to our freedom.
President Trump also did something very important to contrast himself with his opponent, Joe Biden. I'm going to play the two clips side by side and tell me if you can spot the difference. Here's Trump. Play tape.
It was all made possible by the courage of 56 patriots who gathered in Philadelphia 244 years ago and signed the Declaration of Independence. They enshrined a divine truth that changed the world forever when they said, all men are created equal. These immortal words set in motion the unstoppable march of freedom. Our founders boldly declared that we are all endowed with the same divine rights given us by our Creator in heaven. And that which God has given us, we will allow no one ever to take away, ever.
Here's Joe China, Beijing Biden, play tape.
Our country was founded on an idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We've never lived up to it. Jefferson himself didn't. He held slaves. Women were excluded. But once proposed, it was an idea that couldn't be constrained.
What's the difference there? President Trump acknowledged the fullness of the important words enshrined in our Declaration of Independence, that our rights were given to us by our Creator. If you guys want to get a full, let's just say, in-depth look at the Declaration of Independence, I encourage you to check out the sister episode, the Ask Me Anything episode, to this episode, please download both and listen to both. It's two very important episodes. Now, he admits and remembers this time that all men are created equal. But he, in typical postmodernist, Joe Biden pandering fashion, neo-Marxist fashion, omits the most important line, which states, and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. So Joe Biden just basically turns his back on the most important part of the Declaration of Independence. Now, mind you, President Trump fights for and defends our Judeo-Christian heritage. Joe Biden wants to erase it. It's not right versus left this November. It's dark versus light. It's reason versus the left. It's indecency versus decency. Despite all this, the New York Times, CNN, and other activist media outlets went on to review President Trump's speech as a dark and divisive speech. Here's what they were talking about. I want you to listen. And if you think this is dark and divisive, I don't know how you would have that interpretation. Play tape.
1776 represented the culmination of thousands of years of Western civilization and the triumph of not only spirit, but of wisdom, philosophy, and reason. And yet, as we meet here tonight, there is a growing danger that threatens every blessing our ancestors fought so hard for, struggled, they bled to secure. Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Many of these people have no idea why they're doing this, but some know exactly what they are doing. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud, and they will not allow our country and all of its values, history, and culture to be taken from them.
None of that was false. What we are up against is a neo-fascist revolution being endorsed by the highest ranking members of the Democrat Party, and they pose a real and present threat to our country. As they seek to destroy our history, President Trump goes on offense with an incredible idea. And I want you to email me more of your ideas, freedom@charliekirk.com. By the way, one of you emailed me this idea and I passed it along. So maybe we could take credit for this at the Charlie Kirk Show. Maybe not. I'll have to dig up the email of who came up. They say, Charlie, why doesn't Trump come up with a hall of heroes? And I passed it along to someone at the White House. And again, I don't want to take credit for it. I don't like that whole thing. And oh, it's because of me. Whatever. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Who knows? We're all a big team. We all want to save our country. But the idea was the Hall of Heroes, National Garden of American Heroes. Listen to President Trump announcing it. Play tape.
I am announcing the creation of a new monument to the giants of our past. I am signing an executive order to establish the National Guard of American Heroes, a vast outdoor park that will feature the statues of the greatest Americans to ever live. From this night and from this magnificent place, let us go forward united in our purpose and rededicated in our resolve. We will raise the next generation of American patriots. We will write the next thrilling chapter of the American adventure. And we will teach our children to know that they live in a land of legends, that nothing can stop them, and that no one can hold them down. They will know that in America, you can do anything, you can be anything, and together we can achieve anything. uplifted by the Titans of Mount Rushmore, we will find unity that no one expected. We will make strides that no one thought possible. This country will be everything that our citizens have hoped for so many years, and that our enemies fear, because we will never forget that the American freedom exists for American greatness, and that's what we have, American greatness. Centuries from now, our legacy will be the cities we built, the champions we forged, the good that we did, and the monuments we created to inspire us all. My fellow citizens, America's destiny is in our sights. America's heroes are embedded in our hearts. America's future is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
And President Trump also focused on the education of our children, the indoctrination that's happening in our schools, that we will get our kids to love America again, something that we theorized and that we worked at here on the Charlie Kirk Show, because if you do not teach a generation to love a country, you no longer have a country. Play tape.
The violent mayhem we have seen in the streets and cities that are run by liberal Democrats in every case is the predictable result of years of extreme indoctrination and bias in education, journalism, and other cultural institutions. Against every law of society and nature, our children are taught in school to hate their own country and to believe that the men and women who built it were not heroes, but that were villains. The radical view of American history is a web of lies. All perspective is removed. Every virtue is obscured. Every motive is twisted. Every fact is distorted. And every flaw is magnified until the history is purged and the record is disfigured beyond all recognition. This movement is openly attacking the legacies of every person on Mount Rushmore. They defile the memory of Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. Today, we will set history and history's records straight.
This is directly harmonic with President Reagan's famous line that freedom is not passed along in the bloodstream. That has to be fought for generation to generation. Listen to Ronald Reagan and listen how similar it sounds to President Trump. Play tape.
Our founding fathers here in this country brought about the only true revolution that has ever taken place in man's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another set of rulers. But only here did that little band of men so advanced beyond their time that the world has never seen their like since evolve the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
This is President Trump at his best. This is President Trump setting the tone of the race. And then you see Joe Biden come out and have to all of a sudden defend the symbology and the history of our country. It's all a bunch of nonsense. Joe Biden does not believe in the icons of our past. He does not believe in the history of America. He's just posing so the radicals behind him can have a better chance at trying to get him elected president of the United States. As the left tries to demolish our history, as the left tries to eliminate what matters most to us, President Trump stands firm on the history of Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, George Washington, and Abraham Lincoln, the giants that built the United States of America. In our sister episode here on the Ask Me Anything, please check it out. We go through why the Declaration of Independence is one of the greatest documents ever written in the history of the world post the creation and the God breathing into the Holy Bible, God's Word. I encourage you to check it out. Because the Declaration of Independence was a sovereign separation from tyranny, which every single person listening to this podcast should dissolve itself of tyranny on an individual basis, not just on a governmental basis. And I tell you exactly how to do that in the Ask Me Anything episode. President Trump gave his best speech in front of Mount Rushmore, and it was incredible. You saw Air Force One fly overhead. You saw the Blue Angels. It's incredible. President Trump also had some very important words on the celebration to America on July 4th itself. Play tape.
Thanks to the courage of those patriots on July 4th, 1776, the American Republic stands today as the greatest, most exceptional, and most virtuous nation in the history of the world. Our workers, our factories, have revolutionized industries and lifted millions into prosperity. Our artists, architects, and engineers have inspired the globe with transcendent works of beauty. American heroes defeated the Nazis, dethroned the fascists, toppled the communists, saved American values, upheld American principles, and chased down the terrorists to the very ends of the earth. We are now in the process of defeating the radical left, the Marxists, the anarchists, the agitators, the looters, and people who, in many instances, have absolutely no clue what they are doing. Our inventors, scientists, doctors, and researchers have improved the lives of billions and billions of people all around the world. Our brave astronauts planted the American flag on the moon, and America will be the first nation to land on Mars. All Americans living today are the heirs of this magnificent legacy. We are the descendants of the most daring and courageous people ever to walk on the face of the earth. We inherit their towering confidence, unwavering enthusiasm, their unbridled ambition, and their unrelenting optimism. This is the untamed spirit that built this glorious nation, and this is the spirit that burns brightly within the soul of every American patriot. That is why we pay tribute to generations of American heroes whose names have etched on our monuments and memorials and in the pages of history and in the hearts of a very grateful people. We will never allow an angry mob to tear down our statues, erase our history, indoctrinate our children, or trample on our freedoms. We will safeguard our values, traditions, customs, and beliefs. We will teach our children to cherish and adore their country so that they can build its future. Together, we will fight for the American dream, and we will defend, protect, and preserve American way of life, which began in 1492 when Columbus discovered.
President Trump should give a speech like every single day is July 4th. that every single day we must declare our independence from the cowardly tyrants that are trying to take over our country. This is President Trump winning the election. If President Trump wins in November, which I believe that he will win in November, if we rise up and President Trump thinks big, embraces the positive patriotism within our country, if he continues to do that, Joe Biden will be the easiest candidate to beat. Couple that with maybe a Kanye West candidacy who might splinter off a couple percentage of the votes. This race is not over yet. If you feel doom and despair, take a deep breath. Understand and realize that the collective positive energy of the conservative, patriotic country that we live in will defeat the negative, pessimistic worldview of the left. They have a little bit of momentum right now. It will stop. For many of you that are wondering, well, Charlie, how are we going to stand up against the BLM lies and BLM Inc.? It's already happening, and the media has censored this. If you try to Google this speech that Marcellus Wiley gave on, I think it's NBA TV or Fox Sports 1. I'm sorry, Fox Sports 1. Incredible. So the National Basketball Association kowtowing to the elites that want to destroy our country from within. Remember, we have an elite ruling class that hates America. They really do. They want to paint the court Black Lives Matter. And of course, it is true. That statement is true. But you are pandering to BLM Inc. And we have gone through the differences of that. BLM Inc. versus the statement that is true, Black Lives Matter. I encourage you to check that out. But people are already starting to stand up. And there's a direct call to action right here, right now, for you to do the exact same. I go through this in great detail in our sister episode today, and I know I keep referencing it, but I'm going to kind of give you the crash course right now. Because in order to fight against the people that want us to live in a primitive state, not a civilized state, people that want us to embrace the immaturity, not the adult, this more Rousseauian version of the world where the cowardly rule and the strong are submissive, in order to fight up against it, you have to be willing to stand for truth. So Marcellus Wiley on Fox Sports 1 did exactly that. This is one of the best two-minute takedowns of BLM Inc. that I have heard. A black man on cable television. The media is trying to censor him. Again, his name is Marcellus Wiley. I encourage you to find out this clip. Listen to it yourself. It's off the charts. Play tape.
But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah.
Is this a good idea?
It's not a good idea. I do want to give the players credit for their flex to even get this to be more than just an idea, but something that's going to be in reality. I give the players that. But there's a problem with when you start to go down this road of the freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and how much social space is allowed for those who don't support in that same space. And that's where I wonder where this is going to go. In terms of identity politics, we know what identity politics does. It divides and it polarizes. No matter how you want to look at it, that's just the effect of it, no matter how great the intentions are. And we all know the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So it's an interesting play right here. I don't know how many people really look into the mission statement of Black Lives Matter, but I did. And when you look into it, there's a couple things that jump out to me. And I'm a black man who's been black and my life has mattered since 1974. And this organization was founded in 2013. I'm proud of you. But I've been fighting this fight for me and for others a lot longer. Two things. My family structure is so vital and important to me. Not only the one I grew up in, but the one I'm trying to create right now. Being a father and a husband, that's my mission in life right now. How do I reconcile that, what I just told you, with this mission statement that says, quote, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. When I know statistics, when I know my reality, forget statistics. I knew this before I even went to Columbia and saw these same statistics that I'm going to read to you right now. That children from single parent homes versus two parent homes. The children from the single parent homes, this is in 1995, I was reading this. 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 6 times more likely to be in poverty, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, and 32 times more likely to run away from home. I knew that. You know why I knew it? Because a lot of my friends didn't have family structures that were nuclear like mine, and they found themselves outside of their dreams and goals and aspirations. So when I see that or as a mission statement for Black Lives Matter, it makes me scratch my head. When I also see their mission is to eradicate white supremacy. In 2020, white supremacy is the mission. Woo, that's a lot of digging through minutia right there. I am on a show that I'm hosting along with another Black guy who is hosting with me, who replaced another Black guy. And that's just one example of it. So I understand. I respect your space. I respect what you're protesting for. But will you respect others who don't support that same protest?
We need more courageous people that are willing to take a stand up against BLM Inc. Problems that are not confronted multiply. That is why the president, going to Mount Rushmore, saying we have a zero tolerance policy for our statues and for our monuments and for our icons to be torn down. For the president saying that anyone who does this will get years in prison. For the ringleader that tore down statues in Washington, D.C. that has been arrested, he will serve serious prison time. We must treat these people as they are terrorists, and we must call out untruths as we see it. The president, I think, has reset the 2020 race over the weekend at Mount Rushmore and, of course, at the Lincoln Memorial. And all of you should take that as a call to action to stand for our history. I know a lot of you were probably under attack from the Colin Kaepernicks of the world that are weak and corrupt and, quite honestly, people that dwell in a sphere of misery. So think about how miserable you must be to want to destroy the beautiful country that we live in. There's no gratitude in that. In fact, I think a lot of what drives the left is ingratitude, a lack of perspective, a lack of understanding of how great and magnanimous and special and beautiful our country is. And Mount Rushmore embodies that. Mount Rushmore, by the way, which was described by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as being beautiful and wonderful. And then the Democrats' Twitter account, the Democrat National Committee Twitter account, says that this is a symbol of the white supremacy. Do you think that the radicals that have taken over the Democrat Party are going to allow to be unchecked for this long? Understand that we have been, as a patriotic movement, I don't even want to make this right versus left, we've been a little bit disorganized in the last couple months. Understandably so. We can't go to church. We have to wear masks everywhere. We're in constant fear of getting the virus. Just things are not clicking the way that they should, and people are living in this constant state of oppressive fear. And then you have the weak, corrupt tyrants that come at a perfect time when 25 million people are out of work and there's uncertainty and you can't celebrate July 4th. That's when they strike. But I'll tell you what, once we get our footing back in mid-August, maybe in the next couple of weeks, in early September, the left has a lot to answer for, a lot. When people realize that the Lincoln statue has been taken down in Boston, Massachusetts, one of the most beautiful, important cities in our country, when people realize the George Washington statue has been taken down in Portland, Oregon, there are going to have to be answers to how this happened and who is responsible for this. Is Nancy Pelosi and Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? They just think that they can take this country over without us launching a full-throated defense? Not going to happen. And Marcellus Wiley is just the beginning of that. We are going to see more and more people stand up in their own sphere of influence. And I encourage you to do that because the weak and the corrupt count on the strong and the decent to be afraid and submissive. If you do not fight and stand for what is correct around you, you allow the weak and the corrupt to win. The tyrants all around us. And speaking of tyrants, they're trying to close America again right now. The authoritarians are trying to lock down everything. They're trying to issue centralized measures to not have you leave the home, to wear masks at all times. Even Republican governors are playing into this. This is a massive story I want to share with you. It's an optimistic story. It's a positive story from John Solomon at Just the News. Quote, coronavirus deaths in the country have reached a level where the virus will cease to qualify as an epidemic. Whoa! This is not a conspiracy theory. And this is not just some fringe wingnut blog or some banned doctor from YouTube, even though those are the ones who are actually being proven right. This is according to the CDC for the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The federal agency reported on Friday, a convenient time to report something that you don't want anyone to notice, especially going into a Independence Day weekend. So you probably haven't heard it anywhere. All you hear about is cases are skyrocketing. But let's continue. Quote, the CDC qualifies a disease outbreak as an epidemic if the number of deaths attributable to a disease exceeds a certain percentage of total deaths per week. That threshold for pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19, or the Chinese coronavirus, fluctuates slightly depending on the time of year, ranging from around 7% at the height of the flu season to around 5% during less virulent months. The Center for Disease Control data indicates that deaths from those ailments began skyrocketing in the country around the second week of March, hitting a peak around early May, and then plummeting quickly after that. This is just, again, this is from justthenews.com, John Solomon. The latest data shows us that the percentage of deaths in the country attributable to those factors had of those last week in June reached its lowest point since the end of last year, becoming equal to the epidemic threshold of 5.9%. The Chinese coronavirus may cease to qualify as an epidemic in just the next few weeks. Huge win. So yes, case count is up in certain places around the country. However, deaths throughout the country have remained flat, if not going down. This is due to several big factors. This is positive news for you right here. Most of the new infections are younger people who are largely mild or asymptomatic. We have now improved treatment methods. We now know more about the Chinese coronavirus. There was a backlog of hospital visits that put people thinking that it was too dangerous to go to the hospital, and everyone is subjected to mandatory testing. I think that if we tested all Americans at once, we'd find out that we are nearing herd immunity. We'd also find out that the mortality rates for this disease are extremely low for all age groups under 70 or 75. We now know that a majority of the deaths are nursing home related. So do not let them shut down your country, city, or state. I've already said that I'm willing to be arrested because I'm going to defy these lockdown measures. It's not going to happen. This is pure Big Brother authoritarian tyranny. Take your life back, take your country back, and fight back. They need to know that those of us that have allowed this authoritarianism, it's not going to happen anymore. The data does not support it. Again, the CDC has admitted that this might not be a pandemic in a couple weeks. It just might not. That this might no longer be to the threshold of the pandemic. That should be reason enough for us to reopen America. My analysis of liberty is very simple. Allow me to do what I want to do as long as it does not harm somebody else. And I'll allow you to do what you want to do as long as it does not harm somebody else. Now, that is very easy to state and simply applied. People say, well, Charlie, you going outside harms somebody else. Someone also can put themselves in harm's way if they so choose. So allow me to exist in a free society. And if you're worried about the virus, stay home. Don't restrict the freedom, liberty, prosperity, and potential for human flourishing around the idea or the fear that other people might also get sick. In order for you to have liberty, in the Declaration of Independence, it clearly says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have restricted people to pursue happiness and liberty because we want to be safe. The word safety does not come in the Declaration in a separate context until further on. In order for us to feel safe, the government's going to take care of us. Be able to make decisions as you see fit. We are at a point now where first we said it's about hospital capacity. Then we were told it's about slowing the spread. Then we were told it's about stopping the spread. Now, even some Republican governors are saying, well, we now have to stop the spread because too many young people are being infected, despite deaths and hospitalizations going down in Florida and Texas. And even Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said on Fox News that Texas hospital capacity is perfectly fine, that they have ICU capacity. Play tape.
In Texas, Laura, we have seen a spike in cases. We expected that because we're now testing almost 35,000 a day. We're testing in more of our 254 counties than we were before. So we expected those numbers to go up. Our hospitalizations are up. But here's the good news. The good news is we're not seeing it translate to the ICU unit or into fatalities. So over the last 8 days, we've had 47, 29, 28, 10, 17 people pass. Every life is valuable. But with the spike in cases and the spike in hospitalizations, the firewall so far is at the ICU units. I talked to one major hospital chain, Laura, last night. In March, their death rate compared to positivity was almost 12%. In May, it was 9%, and this month it's 5.9%. Here's the point. The numbers are high, but there's a lot to be very optimistic about. We're very concerned, being very careful, but to be very optimistic about, because these are mostly younger people who are in the hospitals for half the time that they were in March. They're getting out and they're healthy. They're not going to the ICU unit. And by the way, I want to straighten out some misinformation that's been all over the media in Texas and America. We are not out of ICU beds in Texas. We have 7,200 ICU beds available. Of those, we have 1,400 with COVID. 7,200 and 1,400.
If people want to leave their home and risk being infected, they should be given the right to do so to live their life. And that's not because I have some cruel or backwards viewpoint on the world. It's because I actually care about people's liberty and life with it. It's not just about how many people can we keep at home locked up forever. It's also about quality of life. And a lot of these authoritarian political tyrants, who are very miserable people, by the way, in both parties, believe that it is more necessary to restrict liberty so that they can feel good, so that the media will stop calling them bad names. Courageous Republicans like Governor Kristi Noem are being rewarded by voters in ways we could never have imagined. Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota, who we just had on the Charlie Kirk Show last week, I encourage you to check it out, hit subscribe, and download that episode, and download all the episodes you can. The people want right now freedom fighters. They want people who are willing to stand up against the swarm of socialists and fight for truth. This is where President Trump is at his best. The people will reward President Trump the more he fights and the more that he draws lines in the sand. People reward tough fighters, even if they might not agree with them. See, one of the biggest lies in politics is somehow that if you're in the mushy vanilla middle, the voters want that and they're going to reward you. I totally disagree with that. I think that the more you're in the mushy political vanilla middle, the less likely people are to reward you. The more likely they're going to think you're weak. I think the more that you stand on truth and light and pierce that darkness, the more likely that you are going to get reelected. And that is really what drives a lot of the political classes. They say, I don't know, I'm afraid of losing reelection. Well, first of all, there's worse things on the planet than losing reelection. That's number one. Number two, you're actually going to get reelected if you take the tough fights. If you run away from the political combat, if you run away from the mean and nasty names, that's when you're actually going to put yourself in jeopardy and put your country in jeopardy as well. President Trump at Mount Rushmore said clearly and convincingly that we are drawing a line in the sand, that we are going to erect new statues, that we are going to put up new symbology of our country's greatness and excellence, that we are no longer going to tolerate the despotic destruction of everything that we care about, where the left's endless dogmatism around everything being negative in the world, that somehow everything that came before us was a mistake. It's very easy to think that this fight and struggle that we're in right now for the future of America, with actually optimistic news pouring in, people say, well, I don't think we can win. We have already won if we fight. We have already won if we draw the line in the sand, and I believe you have a moral obligation to do that right now. These activist arsonists, which is what they are, they're actually getting nervous that we're waking up. They're actually getting nervous that freedom fighters are starting to rise up. You can start to see little examples of the left try to run for the hills. Great example is the Democrat National Party that tweeted out that Mount Rushmore was a white supremacist icon. They deleted the tweet. Very interesting, because they received backlash from that. They maybe went too far, but it was tweeted. People remember that, and they will remember that in this next coming election. Understand that the societal nihilists, people that think life has no meaning, they think they can do whatever they want. For those of us that are responsible to a higher power or even a higher ideal, we understand that we have responsibility. We understand that if we do not fight back or bring order into the chaos of this world, and that's what the left really wants, they want a perpetual state of societal chaos. Statues that we know to be true to be torn down. Schools that we once thought were teaching the correct history to be in complete and total confusion. They want people's gender identity to be confused. They want people's religious identity to be confused. We know that if you have a why, you can figure out the how. Well, Charlie, I don't know how I'm going to make this work if I stand for truth. If your why is big enough, the advancement and the protection of the United States of America, then your how will be figured out. Be guided by the highest possible pursuit of truth, because the totalitarians, believe it or not, they're actually becoming more nervous right now. President Trump piercing the darkness with light makes them run to the hills, makes their protests seem a little bit more futile than ever before. We are going to win this fight. President Trump will win re-election, but it takes every single person listening to this podcast to confront tyranny, to not allow this bubbling up authoritarianism to go without being confronted. We can do this. We will do this. It's why I'm speaking out more than ever before, and that's why you guys that allow these episodes to continue by going to charliekirk.com/support and chip in, and a monthly donor. We have a monthly Zoom call for those of you. That's how we're going to save our country. The political stuff will get it sorted out. But a movement of hundreds of thousands and millions of people fighting for truth in the micro sense with friends and family and street corners, churches and communities, you actually have the power to save America. And if you think you don't, you're wrong. A singular person fighting for what is good and true in the world can start a movement of virtue. And even if it doesn't, you still did the right thing. You still did what is good before the Creator. Let's draw inspiration from the Founding Fathers as we enter this new week, looking at the significance of July 4th, where the declaration was the want, the will, and the hopes of the people. Written, of course, and inspired by Thomas Jefferson. But we understand that our birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence, was a death certificate at the time. The Declaration, when they signed it, was basically an invitation for King George to kill every single signer to the Declaration. The least we can do now is to show the leftist Marxist tyrants that this is not their country, that we're going to take it back peacefully and correctly, and we're going to win. That Think Big podcast to make our kids love America again and those specific ideas has resonated through the zeitgeist of the conservative movement. So thank you for sharing that episode and downloading, and give us a 5-star review. And thank you guys for supporting our program. Listen to our sister episode. Please take action. I talk about this quite often, but all of you have a moral obligation right here, right now, to confront the weak and the corrupt. Problems that are not confronted multiply. Always confront tyranny. In every single sense, small, medium, large. That's why our country is the greatest country ever to exist. And that's why the founders recognized and articulated and enshrined First Amendment practices, so that tyranny can never bubble up without the people speaking out against it. That's why they tried to destroy and abolish our freedom of speech first, because they know if they can get rid of the freedom of speech that we have and that we enjoy, all of a sudden you can't have dialogue, you can't have discourse, you can't have shared ideas. Thank you guys so much for listening. CharlieKirk.com/support. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And the first 15 people that type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and screenshot and email us in. Can win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. We're about a week behind on sending those out because I've been traveling so much to Wyoming, South Dakota, and other places. And I hope you guys enjoyed those speeches over the weekend. Some of the best feedback we get are those longer form speeches. So if you guys have a long commute or a drive in, enjoy those speeches. That's just raw, authentic, me in front of people talking and just really building out these ideas. Email me your questions. Let's go a level deeper with your help. We'll continue to do that at charliekirk.com/support. We're going to win. They're going to lose. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening.